Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it is Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have got the super amazing, incredible Karen Clark with me today. Karen, we've known Karen for quite a few years, and we've got a couple of friends that we connect with all the time. And I have known what Karen does, and then I got to hear a whole lot more about it. I went, oh, wow, I've got to have her on the podcast because she's got some great information, really valuable stuff to share. Let me read a little bit about Karen. So you've got a bit of an idea of what she does. So with over 30 years of hands-on entrepreneurial business experience, Karen Lynn Clark has the know-how to help business owners achieve exponential results, even when operating in the toughest conditions. And we've certainly had those in recent times, Karen. Karen is a business trainer and facilitator who is real, raw, and has on the ground in the trenches experience. Karen works with female business owners in male-dominated industries, adding a unique spin from the quantum side of life. This is what we're going to be discussing. It's so very cool and great information. She helps women to accelerate their rate of success, and I'll get that word out again, their rate of success, and understand how to achieve their desired results by working with their thoughts, words, and mindset. You can see, knowing me, you can see why this just resonated. I love the topic.
Yeah.
Karen's clients learn how to smash through the glass ceiling with the power of laser-focused energy, commitment, and unwavering belief in themselves. She teaches clients there is an art and science to transformation and helps them realize their full potential. So hold on to your hats, and we're going to have a lot of great information. Welcome, Karen. It's wonderful having you on.
Thank you, Janine. Wonderful to be here. As you say, we've done a bit together. We've known each other for quite a few years and haven't really discussed what I do in detail. So it's a pleasure.
I'm going to learn so much today, and so are all of the listeners. The Karen Lynn Clark story, we want some background. Karen, what got you here to doing what you're doing?
What brought me to this point in my life?
Yeah.
It's a good question, because, you know, that's one of the things I teach people is doesn't matter what has happened to you or through you or in your life, if it's something that you feel a bit negative about, you know, the great way to look at it is that it's brought you to where you are now, and you've always learned so many lessons from it. But you are not your history and you are not your story. However, my story, I'm happy to share it. So to go back, I was thinking about this, Janine, and I thought, you know, I'm going to say something I've never said before.
Oh, I love that.
I've done a few podcasts and interviews and things, and I was thinking about what is my story. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back to when I was a little girl. And I had this cast where my one eye looked up like this, and I had two eye operations before I was three, and then I had glasses, okay? And I had glasses, well, I've still got them, right? The specialist told my mum that by the time I was 16, I wouldn't need them, but that didn't happen. So I had glasses, and I remember feeling like I wasn't as attractive as other girls, because I had these glasses and I felt like I looked unattractive, that I wasn't desirable through my, you know, right through primary school even, and that I was just nobody would be attracted to me. And I thought that was interesting, because I'd never really processed that. Well, I had, but I hadn't, you know, it was like in my unconscious consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so, so we all have these things that we've made mean something. And so I grew up, and of course, as a result, I was the sharpest dresser when I was a teenager. My mum was amazing. She always took me to get the best glasses I could, and she helped us dress beautifully. She sewed all our clothes. And so I was always the sharpest dresser. It was always compensating, though, to try and look as good as what I thought these other girls did, and I never felt like I did. And yet I can look at other women with glasses and think how wonderful they look. But when I see myself, even now, I don't
It's quite different as a child, though, Karen. It's very different because it was the odd one out.
Whereas as we get older,
a lot more people wear glasses.
Yeah, I didn't think boys would like me or anything, you know, and that was why. It was because I had glasses. Mm. So that was interesting. I've got a photo of me when I'm a little girl with my sister and brother, and I actually look quite cute with these glasses on. But anyway, so I used to go to work with my dad from about 9, and he was in business. And so I went to work for him. And so he taught me everything about business. He taught me how to be of service, how important your customers are, how to do double entry bookkeeping on a big, huge ledger book, how to add up the, you know, as a little girl right through to my late teens, I worked in his business with him. And I remember he said to me one day, I'll never forget it. It's been with me my whole life. He said, Karen, you can do whatever you want when you grow up. If you want to have your own business, you can.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's not often a gift that parents give their children.
Yeah. Yeah. And so my parents were a bit different. You know, they taught us to be independent. My dad was into motorcycles. He did where they go up really steep hills and through rivers and things like that on special motorcycles off the road, not motocross. I forget the word of the name now. And he taught me to ride a motorcycle when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And then he said to me too, when you're 15, because we in New Zealand, we're allowed to get our license when we're 15. He said, when you're 15, you can have your own motorcycle and have it, you know, as your transport. And so my parents were a bit different to a lot of parents where they were more open about things like that. So I did. I got my little motorcycle when I was 15 and rode it to school, to a girls only private school, much to the headmistress's shock. And I wore my leathers and got changed into my uniform when I got there, which was also to her shock. And she complained to my mum, and my mum said, well, what would you rather she do, wear her uniform on her motorcycle? So, you know, I grew up with a great level of independence and also believing that I could do this. It doesn't mean that I don't have the fear and the things that stop us. However, I had that little extra belief that I could do it because my dad had told me, and that's exactly what I did. As soon as I could, I started my first business and have started several businesses since then. For over 30 years, started and grown and administered and run my own businesses for that time. And I love business, and they've always been in male. I did one in the beauty industry, and all the rest have been in male-dominated industries.
Right.
So that is last year, so to come up to now, last year I was working with a coach, and I'd previously worked with another coach and worked out a niche that was going to be app developers, female app developers. And then I just didn't feel that it was quite exactly where I wanted to be. So we did some more brainstorming, and I came up with the women in male-dominated industries.
Mm. Yeah, and then that's the beauty of being able to carry through your experience, because you really understand what that's like. Just as a side note, my father-in-law, my husband, and my sons are all in construction.
Wow.
Yes. So I've very much grown up in construction. And when I was with Alpha First Aid, I dealt with mining and construction. So I really understand and working, and just that wasn't my role, working with the women in those industries, but there's some groups out there now that particularly cater for the women in those industries. Mm. And I see they're really rising up as opposed to being, you know, the women are better truck drivers on the mines, for example, because they tend to look after the trucks better. And that's statistically been proven. And, you know, there's things where women are really coming through in a lot of male dominated industries, but it's an important space to be in, I would imagine, because in their bio I read about the glass ceiling, but it's not even just that glass ceiling they're trying to get through, it's that whole male ego, women can't do the role as well. But it's not the men that are doing that, it's the women's belief within themselves and the stories.
Absolutely, you are bang on, Janine. There's two things: there is the men and it is the women themselves having those. So it's interesting. Let me give you an example of that. So as you can imagine, I have three daughters and I brought up my daughters with the same way. Okay. They all worked in our business. That was a male dominated business too. And they learned all the basics of business before they went to university. And one of my daughters is a lawyer, and she did her degree in New Zealand, finished her degree, a double conduit in business and law, and she said, I want to be in litigation. So she started to apply when she'd finished her degree in litigation in New Zealand and really didn't get a job. Wasn't much there anyway. And so they came to Australia. She looked around, found about 30 jobs, and found that the starting salary was $30,000 higher than in New Zealand. And she found a job and applied for it. And it actually happened to be a New Zealand woman who owned this Australian construction litigation firm, and she got the job. Well, after 2 years of her in that job, this is her first job. She worked all through her degree, though, so she did have work experience. But after 2 years in that job, I saw a post on LinkedIn saying, I've been made associate, right? Yeah. And I looked at that. She didn't tell me. And so I contacted her and I said, congratulations. Wow, that's amazing. I said, tell me something. Did your boss offer it to you or did you ask for it? You know what she said, don't you? I asked for it.
Wow.
Because that's what women don't normally do. The men are the ones who promote, ask for promotions, put themselves forward. And we've talked about this with other people. Excuse me. And the men it's something in their psyche and their drive that a lot of women don't have. We hold back, we think, and then so we're setting up a culture that women have to prove themselves 10 times more before they feel confident to go forward and ask for that promotion. So now she's got, to go back to my daughter, she got that. She left that firm after a year. She went to another bigger, better firm, and now she's applied for another bigger, better role with an international firm. Yeah. And I said to her, isn't it great that you've got that associate? And she said, yes. She said, especially after 2 years out of my degree.
Yeah, that's amazing. And to have that, and not, as mentioned, I said, you were gifted with your father giving that to you, and you've done that same thing to your children. With sons, it's easier, but I have always, again, said, you know, you guys, you can do whatever you put your mind to. But particularly my oldest son, he just is through the construction industry, you know, went from an apprentice to a construction manager within a few years. And it was because of this, and it stunned me with this belief in himself, absolute backing himself 100% of the time. And just highly successful, well-known across the construction industry in Queensland and as a person that gets the job done. But it's that backing himself to do it. And it's not something that women do very often at all. And it's not just in construction, that it's in all industries, isn't it? It's that I work with women in different roles to get them to have a voice and to be able to speak well. And I see this all the time, Karen, that it's the voice that's holding them back and stopping them from progressing. And so how do you work with clients that are in that space and to for them to have that belief within themselves?
So the first thing is to have people understand that it's there, that it's not there, that what is holding them back. Because if I said to you, or if I said, not you, Janine, but someone else in a position like that, you know, your fear is holding you back, a lot of people will say, well, I'm not afraid. But it is our fear. It's fear of something. And so what I do is we always start with the same thing with everybody. We start with creating a really clear picture, clear vision of what it is you would do if you didn't think you had any limitations, because it is all mindset, like you said with your son, right? It is all mindset. It is all that we don't back ourselves or that we feel like we're not quite good enough or whatever. And so what we start with is like the first point is here. What would you do in your life if you could do whatever you wanted, like my dad said, and you didn't think you had any reasons why you couldn't? And we work with people to bring up the, and this is an energetic blueprint, because let's go back to everything is created twice. Let me just explain a few basic rules and this. Everything in this physical world is first created in thought. So if you think about the chair, the desk, the lamp, the ceiling fan, whatever in your room that's in this physical form, or the house or the building or whatever, it was a thought first before it became real. It was a thought in the designer's head, right? Mm-hmm. And that thought was in specific detail. So that chair that you're sitting on, that chair designer knew exactly every single detail of what it was going to look like. Yeah. So once we think something up, it exists in the quantum realm already. Okay. It exists. However, it could just stay there if we don't do certain things to bring it to this physical world. So if you go back to the chair, once the chair designer thought that up, they have to create a blueprint to get it out of their head onto a paper or onto CAD or something. So that's the first step, is to create the blueprint in detail. And then they had to take action. They took that blueprint to the manufacturer and said, make me this chair like this. Or if they were going to make it themselves, they would have ordered the products and materials, right? Mm-hmm. So there's three things that are required. There's a clear, detailed, specific picture of what you want something to be like. And then then our feelings and emotions come into that, and then we take action, and that causes our results. Now, it's easy for you to go, yeah, I understand that with the chair or the table or the lamp. But what people don't understand is this process is the same with the results in our life, and we're doing it anyway, because if you're breathing and you're human, you are manifesting like this. Because we think 60 to 70,000 thoughts every single day. And those thoughts are what's causing this process, right? And so if we don't do it by design, we get a life by default. Because the universe thinks what we focus on is what we pay our attention on is our intention. And so it gives us what we're thinking about. Now, it takes me to the next step. Next point is the programming. So we're not programmed to do what I just told you. We're programmed as humans in the Western world especially, but probably the entire world. We're programmed and we're patterned to think about our problems, to think about our limitations, to think about what we don't want, to think I can't do that, to think about I don't have some outside condition to be able to do this. And we're also, and so what we do, and that's deep, deep programming. There wouldn't be anyone, there would be very few people who are not functioning like that.
Mm.
And so what we also do is when we start to think about something I would love, we straight away go, I don't know how to do that, or I can't do that because I don't have certain conditions. So I'll go like that and say, this is what I'm going to go for.
Mm.
And we immediately limit ourselves to something much smaller because of those things that hold us back. Does that answer your question?
Or even they create a bigger negative story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
all a lot of people that you see that their lives are perpetuated in this negative space, that's their belief and that what they're manifesting through those thoughts, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But it's not just thoughts. As you said, there's two steps.
Oh, there's more than two steps, really. So there's a law of cause and effect, or a formula for success, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it says this: our thoughts create our feelings and emotions, which cause the actions that we take, which cause our results. So your action is your grounding energy. So it's all energy, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything I'm talking about is energetic frequencies, energy. And so, you know, we can talk about the quote that I sent to you by Einstein, where he said, everything is energy. That's all there is. Match the frequency of the life you desire, and it cannot help but be yours. This is not philosophy. This is physics.
Mm.
And so...
And that's powerful, but really people to get their head around and to understand, isn't mm-hmm. it? You know, the first thing that pops up is the, you know, finding a car park when you want to find a car park.
Yeah.
And that's a simple version that people will probably relate to, but it's everything, every thought, every process. Yeah. It would get exhausting, though, if we're constantly monitoring our thoughts or not.
Right. Well, actually, that's what we want to do as much as we can. We're not going to do it all the time, because there's no way you can monitor 60 to 70,000 thoughts. And this is proven science that we are thinking that much, proven neuroscience. Okay. So therefore, if you're thinking 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day, you want to be able to check in, because otherwise you're doing all this by default. You're sending all these messages out by default. And so one of the things we teach people is to set up a system or a structure to actually check in on what am I thinking? And if those thoughts aren't serving your vision, what you want, or your goals, or anything like that, that you're moving forward to, then you can actually counter them and say, no, I've made this decision. This is what I really want. And this is what I'm doing. And, you know, what step can I take today to further me towards that? So what we suggest to people is, because we're thinking so much all the time, is to do something like my master coach has a system where every time she touches a handle of some kind, so it might be a mug handle, a cup handle, a car door handle, a cupboard handle, any handle, it will prompt her to go, what am I thinking? And so one of our 101 teaching is notice what you're noticing. And so that brings you to many things. It's like if you're sitting in a cafe and someone walks in and you have a thought that she doesn't look very nice, she's not dressed very well, that dress does look shabby or whatever.
Mm.
If you notice you're doing that, you're operating in a low frequency.
Mm.
Because criticism, judgment, loathing, anything like that is a low vibrational frequency. Lack, doubt, fear, all of those are under 200 or 300 hertz. And when you create something that you would love, when you're thinking about it, and if you write it out too, and that's what we teach people to do, to go back to your first question, I'll come back to it in a minute. Love, gratitude, and joy, and all of those type of feelings and thoughts are 500 or more. And so that's what Einstein meant, is match the frequency of the life you desire. So you want to be up there as often as you can to bring a love and a gratitude. It's another one that's up there, to bring that to your life, right? And so if you're operating, if these thoughts are all happening through programming and patterning and they're under 200 hertz, you're never going to match it.
No.
And so the more often you can by noticing and then replacing it with gratitude, replacing it with thinking about your vision, replacing it with good, with pleasant thoughts, being of increase, giving people compliments, all those kind of things put you in a higher frequency.
Yeah. And the compliments is an interesting one, because it's not just the giving, it's the receiving, isn't it?
Yeah.
How yeah. we receive compliments. And I was talking about doing
absolutely
a thing the other night, running a webinar and talking about owning a brand authority. And one of those things I talked about was receiving compliments.
Yes.
And there's only two words when you need to use when you receive a compliment. And it's thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this old dress. No, it's not, you know, and we'll go into a full, oh, I picked it up, you know, on sale or whatever, yeah. rather than just saying thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Because when you do that, it lifts you up. But as soon as you start disqualifying the compliment, it disqualifies the energy the person gave it to you.
That's right.
Doesn't it?
That's
as
right.
As well as within yourself. Because compliments don't come easy, even giving them to people. Mm. They certainly don't come easy for a lot of people to receive them.
Mm. Interested. So I'm a business coach. However, I coach things like that. I coach things like telling people to have a day of increase where they give people compliments, and how to have, you know, that at the end of our session, we'll have these exercises or things to do. And it might be have a week of not swearing, have a week of not complaining, not judging, not criticizing. Because these are all the things that we're programmed so heavily to do all the time. And we're pushing ourselves down in that energetic frequency when we do that. So basically, we teach people to reprogram their brain and the way they think in order to use this technology, which has been used by all the people who have changed history. All the people who somehow knew this instinctively, going right back decades and centuries, like, you know, Einstein, like the Wright brothers, like Henry Ford, and all the little quotes that have come from all those people. I help people to understand what it means to say, if you think you can or you think you can't, you are right.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite quotes.
Yeah.
If I'm anywhere and anyone says, oh, has anyone got a quote, I will always use that one. It's one of it is, and it's a great reminder. Well, because it's sometimes difficult to be in, you know, that space all the time and be consciously aware, and when you are in a different space, it's good to, for me, I find I get outside. That's how I switch me over, is to go just hop outside and just appreciate how things are growing and what's happening. And
and all those are really good for you. Get into nature. I've just been for a walk before here around the lake and through trees and, you know, in nature.
So that's a good idea, I suppose, for everyone to have something that is there. Switch on, switch off type of space, you know, where they, and nature's great for a whole lot of reasons. It's very grounding, but it's also very uplifting, and it's outside, which is a benefit as well. But do you work with people to have something that is theirs that they go, like the handles with your coach?
Yes, well, yes, some people put stickers up around their place that they play around their environment where they spend the most time. So there's two things we do. One is we do that, well, there's many things we do, but some of the first key things are, one is to create that crystal clear vision of what your life would be like in all four domains that we create results in. So we create results in our health and well-being, our relationships and loved ones, our business, career or vocation, whether it's paid or not, and our time and money freedom. And spirituality is actually interlinked between them all. And so we're creating results in those domains or areas of our life every single day. So as I said, if you don't create how you want that to be, you will be operating by default. And if you're not aware of your thoughts, then you're operating even more by default. And so we teach people to start with that vision, that written blueprint, and read it every day, right? Mm. It's an evolving energetic blueprint of your life. Yeah. It's a living document. We write it by hand. And then if people don't have, because everyone's time, you know, time poor, even though we all have the same number of minutes every single day. We get them to create perhaps a travel version, which might be just one line out of each domain.
Okay.
And yeah. to have that maybe on the back of the toilet door, carry one in your handbag, you know, have that in different places. And that might be the one that you read every day, and you might only read the long one two or three times a week if that's the minimum that a person can do. It's super important. But the reason we do it is because it refocuses us. Every time we read it, it refocuses us on that high frequency. And then, like we said, notice what you're noticing. And particularly if you're starting to feel a little bit, you know, anxious or worried or just in general not great, you guarantee you there'll be thoughts going on in your head when you're feeling anything other than motivated, inspired, and, you know, super happy. So notice what's going on.
And it is. I know I've been away on a long holiday, which was just wonderful, and being able to switch off from the business component and just focus on what we were doing and enjoying the space and really appreciate the opportunity, being around some people that were in that same space as well, you know, that they were just there to have fun and enjoy themselves. And it was easy to be in that space every day. There's no struggle when you're in that, and there's not a lot of negative thoughts going through or finding their way through when you're in that space. We can't all be on holidays all the time.
Yeah.
It is certainly a nice way to go when you're traveling. But it's, and I noticed when I came back, it was, and I think this happens to a lot of people, is okay, now I need to get back into my business and you know, earning money because I've been earning it for a few weeks and all this sort of thing. And I noticed I went a bit flat for a few days, and then I absolutely refocused and I'm rebranding my business, and it just all lifted up. I got amazing results from a webinar that I ran, and I get the opportunity now to see it. And it was the down was sort of needed to get the up a bit. And I don't get down. I just got flat. Mm. I think that's good. Mm. But it was what's happening here, Janine? You know, switch it up. Let's look at things from a different space. And because I did, the whole business part of it looked differently. It was really interesting, the change, and something that I'd been trying to see for years as what I actually do. And for those listening, if they haven't heard, is what I do is I help people create their brand authority through all the things I do. And that's it. And it just hit the button and it really lifted. So it changed that space. But I found, as I was saying, I had, I don't know, that clarity in that flat bit. You just were going, what do I need to do to up the game or change it up? And as soon as I started asking those questions, information came through.
Yeah, and you're so right. The questions we ask, because we're not only thinking thoughts, we're thinking questions as well. And that is one of the stories I tell, which I won't tell today because we probably don't have time. But the thing is to ask big questions.
We've got time. We've got time.
To ask big questions, because we tend to just ask little questions. And I just want to, I'd love to pick up what you said about you went flat and then you started
sure.
to think, what do I, you had a holiday, you're feeling great, you came back, then you were just went a little bit flat, and then you asked, what do I need to do? Now, our words are just as important as our thoughts, and every word carries an energy. And so when we say, you just listen to this, What do I need to do to get my business going? Or what can I choose to do to get my business going? I have to go to work, or I choose to go to work because it brings in the money and then I have choices on other things.
So this is programming. I like the word choose. I do use it, but in that I didn't then in my language. So this that's is a good pick
because
up.
We're programmed. Yeah. We all do it. I teach my clients all the time. Need is a disempowering word. It has an energy that's disempowering. And yet I hear people, even my own clients, saying it all the time. We have this discussion now, Aldwyn and, you know, other people we know, we both know, I won't mention names. We have this discussion and I'm still saying, what did you say? Do you realize you just used that word? You know, need, have to, should, got to, all these words that we use because we're patterned and programmed to use them. And I did a little experiment. I lead a meetup in, as you know, in Brisbane with Ed, and I was doing an after presentation, after event, and so I prepared the sentence that said, to be successful, or the three things to be successful, and I put in all these words, you have to, you need to, this, that, try, all these words, right? And I read it out to them. And then I said, can anyone tell me anything they can't want to comment on about what I just said? And at the end of it, I said, the environment or something. And, you know, the only thing people picked up was that, the environment.
Wow, okay.
The economic environment, whatever. Nobody noticed. And then I spoke to them about the power of our words. And, you know, I like to, on that point, quote the Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz says that the first and most important, the most powerful agreement is to be impeccable about your word. So if I can quote, he said this about our words: your word is the power that you have to create. It is through your word that you manifest everything. Regardless of what language you speak, your intent manifests through the word. What you dream, what you feel, what you really are will all be manifested through the word. And our words come from our thoughts. And so we teach people not only to be impeccable about our thoughts, to be the guard at the portal of your mind. And that's the other thing I want to bring up and contribute, is that we want to take care of what's coming into our mind. So watch what you read, watch what you watch on, you know, like, do you really want to watch the news or listen to the news on the radio or television? Do you really want to watch television, knowing that most of it is brainwashing or manipulation or whatever you call it, even with the music that we know this, the music they use on advertisements and all those kind of things, it's manipulation of our minds. What you're reading, what you're, who you're talking to and who you associate with is all being true. We have the only thing we have a choice about is our thoughts. That's the only thing we have full control over. And so it's starting
because those
to
thoughts
aware.
Lead to actions. So because the thoughts lead to the actions.
They lead to it. Well, because because we can control our thoughts. We can't control anyone else.
No, but our actions, our what our responses we can control, but that starts with the thought.
And so, yes, our thoughts lead to our feelings and emotions, which lead to the actions that we take. So if we notice that we are having a thought that's not serving us, we can actually change it. We can actually address it within our own conscious to unconscious. We can say no. And, you know, it's even things like I was talking to one of or doing a webinar with a client who our unconscious mind believes everything we tell it. And so that this person gave me an example where they dropped something or fell over or were clumsy, and they said to themselves, you're a clumsy idiot. And we talked about how damaging that is, and that we all do things like that. And if you notice or even decide not to, if you can, before you do it, you know, or if you do it, then just negate it. Say, no, I'm not a clumsy, to yourself, you know, I'm not a clumsy idiot. I just had an accident. I'm The opposite.
I heard someone the other day speaking, and they said, I don't know whether this was you the other night when I heard it, was when you use the word I, it's a promise, it's a commitment. When you start, when you use the I, whatever. So as you were saying, that person was saying that. And it was interesting. I was out walking with a friend, and I haven't been walking up hills as much as I had been. Although when we were traveling, we did a lot of hill climbing, but not as much. And I was in a bit of pain with walking up this hill, and I was trying to tell her without owning it. And it was really interesting conversation, word around without owning the pain.
There's so much. So we start with the vision, and then in my programs, like I said, I'm a business coach, but I teach completely different things to most business coaches. We do things like forgiveness, we do things like love, we do things. I have a program that covers the 12 universal laws, and that most people don't even know what they are. And I've got a funny story about that I'd love to tell you, because my daughter, as you know, is a lawyer, and you know how our kids, they leave home and then they leave all their stuff and eventually they might come and get it. Well, it was time for, I decided for my daughter to come and get her stuff, so we got it all out of the cupboards and things and put it on this bed in the spare room, and I said, you know, come and get, she agreed she'd come and get it. So anyway, she takes all this stuff away. And a couple of weeks later, when she comes to see me, she said, oh, Mum, this is not mine. And she hands me a book. She said, I don't study that kind of law. And I'd accidentally put my book called Working with the Law by Raymond Holywell, which is an amazing, amazing book on the universal laws. I put it in her pile thinking it was hers. And she sort
What of, was it, Working with the Law by who? That's funny. Who was the author of Working with the Law?
Raymond Holywell. That's an amazing, amazing book. This is one of my programs I teach.
Yep. So, I can imagine why that you thought that might have belonged to the lawyer.
Well, I didn't. I just saw Working with the Law and I was like, yeah. That's your book. Yeah. And, you know, I've got a number of beautiful coaching books. I must have had my head in the wrong space at the time.
It must have been quite freeing to have all of that stuff removed out of the house and
I've still got some boxes of theirs in my storage unit in New Zealand, which is my goal, which is a goal for me to clear out when I'm there next in October.
Are you going back?
I'm going for a few weeks.
Nice. That will be
it's my dad's 90th birthday.
Wonderful. Oh, that's wonderful to be there after not being able to travel for the last couple of years and see them that way. That's brilliant. Karen, we've covered a lot. If we had three takeaway points that you wanted people to remember the most out of the conversation, what would they be?
Okay. So my takeaway points, first of all, I would love to give people this. We haven't even scratched the surface of our potential, of our full capacity and potential, not one of us. When you look at all the things that history changes did, things that were impossible at the time, and they did it, and we have exactly the same capacity within every single one of us. So you can design the life that you would love and live it. Believe it. Believe that if there's some dream that you have, it is possible to bring it to this physical world, to bring it to fruition.
That whole design, and one of the examples I use when I'm talking about that with people is the 4-minute mile. You know, nobody could run the 4-minute mile until Roger Bannister ran it. It was absolutely impossible. Nobody hit it. And as soon as he hit it, it became possible. Exactly. And now college students run a 4-minute mile. They don't have to be Olympians. I saw this with some of the swimming events the other day. Two of the girls went under a time. It was under a 2-minute time or something for the event. And they said that's the first time that they've ever broken that record. But because one pulled the other through, the second one did it. And I guarantee now there's going to be more people that can go, you know, we can do that.
And, you know, the other thing you look at is all these people have coaches. They have coaches, and coaches work with their mindset more than with Olympians and athletes. They work with their mindset more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's for me, and you've been the same in business. You've had coaches all the way through because we need to have that input, and we need to have the people working with us, because you can't be the sole guru knowing all.
Never.
No.
Never.
So learning from coaches like yourself is just so important. Second point.
So second point, before we go on to it, I quickly want to tell you the story about the Wright brothers. So they had their vision of creating a flying machine, and they failed and failed and failed and failed. And we don't call it failure, we call it feedback. And they got to a point, however, because their father was a minister or pastor, and he said to them, boys, if God intended you to fly, he would have given you wings. What are you doing? So they had that negative kind of thing going on. And so they got to a point where they were going to give up. One of the brothers said to the other, it's not working. We should just give up. And the other one said, you know, he said, no, I can see it. I can see it. We can do it. I can see it. And that's the thing. Have the vision, create that picture in your head, and then get it onto a blueprint. So that's the first point. Yeah. The second point is to reiterate that everything is created twice. Once you think something up that you would love to achieve or have in your life, it actually already exists in the quantum realm. You can either do nothing and it won't come to anything, or you can take action and bring it to fruition. Inspiration without action is merely entertainment.
Yes, I've heard that quote before, and it really resonates. Yes, definitely. Yes, third point?
The third point, we haven't really talked much about this, but it's about fear. Everyone experiences fear at the point where we want to change something in our lives. So fear, just know that fear means that you're on the green growing edge of something more, something better in an area of your life. Most of the time, any fear that comes up never happens anyway. If you're afraid of something that might happen, most of the time it doesn't ever happen. But fear is a signal to us that we're moving forward. And what we like to say is, it means you're on the green growing edge of the life that you know now, and something more, bigger, better. That's what it means. It's actually a good thing.
I like that terminology, green growing edge. I've never heard that before, but that seems to make a lot of sense. I don't have a lot of fear about things. Sometimes driving along the side of a cliff when you're the passenger and you're on the edge, that's probably the one thing that I must have been something in a past life that does trigger that for that. But other than that, there is a lot. My mother-in-law, when she was with us, she used to fear everything. And she would say to me, she said, Janine, and she would worry. And she said, Janine, I worry about you so much because you don't worry. And I said, well, okay, you can have that job because I don't want it. You know, it was, but it was that, and it took a health, and it really, that space of everything just seemed fearful for her. She was a lovely lady. I got on beautifully with her. But it was this sense of space that she was in that lived this fearful life. Because it's not the fear, it's the taking of the steps, as you said. It's moving through it, isn't it? Challenge is a good, I prefer challenge if there's something for me. It's okay.
Yes. Well, that's and people be a challenge. Will be afraid of challenge. So some people will not want the challenge. So as humans, and also when we step out to do something, there's a pull back to the familiar. So part of our paradigm does this. It's like, I want to do this. Oh, yes. And then all of a sudden we get this very strong, and it goes through many, many times. Our paradigms keep putting the fear or the doubt or the messages that we get in our head forward to try and keep us safe and secure. And
Yes.
That's a part of our brain that's job is to keep us safe and secure, just breathing in our lungs breathing and our hearts beating.
Yeah.
So it's always going to happen if we're human, like I said. Even
yeah,
if you
yeah,
think
yeah.
you don't have much fear, there's unconscious stuff that goes on.
Yeah, if you're going on I love roller coasters and fast rides and all of that sort of thing. Just absolutely love it. But it's still get that, you get that gut feeling as you're getting onto it and just, you know, excited. I'm excited.
And you like the afterwards probably because you're probably an adrenaline junkie.
Absolutely.
So you love the feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, you know, dropped me from a high level on a ride or something, you know, complete trust that the machine will work and mm-hmm. everything will happen okay. And the planes are meant to fly and, you know, everything's meant to be as it is. It's just, that's cool. That beautiful information, terrific information that people can, you know, I know going to be listening to this and thinking, okay, I recognize now that my thoughts are going to that first step, and how can I change that? There's just so much information in their character. If someone wants to work with you, how would they go about doing that?
So initially, I would say there's a couple of things. One, they can come to my free webinars every second Wednesday evening. So next Wednesday is the first one.
We'll put the dates of a couple of them so people can figure out the dates, mm-hmm. and I'll also include the link to the webinar as well,
which I haven't sent you yet.
Yeah.
And the second thing I can do is I do have an hour and a half session where we do a deep dive to help you discover what it is you would love if you didn't limit it, if you didn't have any fear, if you didn't think those outside conditions would stop you. And it's an amazing process. Everyone at the end says, I always ask them, how do you feel now? And everybody says, I feel amazing. I feel motivated. I feel like it's possible. And they create their beautiful dream. And so that is normally a $450 value. I charge one-to-one, $300 an hour and get it. I do that for people who are come through me through things like this, Janine, for $147.
Wow, that's an amazing offer.
And they go away with the written blueprint that they and some give them some. I give them some ways to move forward with that. Then also, if they want to talk to me from there for my coaching, then they can. So that's the best.
That's an incredible offer, Karen, and I really hope that people who are resonating with what you're saying and realizing that how it might help them personally, help them within their business or their relationships or whatever space they're in, that they will definitely take that up, because that is certainly an incredible offer. Before we wrap up, is there anything that you want to add?
Just to say thank you, Janine. It's been a real pleasure to chat with you this morning. I love these sort of informal podcasts or interviews. And also, Janine, that offer is there for you too if you want to.
Lovely. Thank you.
Therapy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So if you want to get in contact with Karen, the business name is Clarkashians.
Clarkashians and Co.
Okay. All of those details, Karen's email address, website, everything will be in the show notes. So check it out. And also the link to her webinar. We'll have everything there and you can see what Karen does. And you've heard her amazing expertise. Thank you, Karen, for being on this morning.
Thank you so much.
And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I thank you for listening. It is an honor to have you as one of my listeners and subscriber to this podcast. And remember that you can watch it as well on YouTube, which is Janine Bosper. If you I've got some issues that you know I can help with, and you know that I recommend, and I've got this amazing group of women that I can recommend you to. So it's not just what I can help you with, it's what other people can help you with. So please book it's not really a strategy or discovery call. It's a chance for us to connect and see where the best opportunity is for you. And if you go to my website, janinebosper.com, then you can book a complimentary 30-minute session. I would love to have that conversation with you. I look forward to you joining me and the next guest on the We Are Women podcast. Have a fabulous day. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.